You're listening to the Fade to Gray Network.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. This is Elizabeth Williams with the Four and Toe Podcast. Nope.
That's fine. Just roll with it.
Sorry. Hey, all you cool... Ugh, hang on. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. This is Elizabeth with the Fade to Gray Podcast. That was too much air.
Way too much.
Yeah. And she always sounds a little bit more happy. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
There you go. That's perfect. Yeah.
This is Elizabeth Williams with the Fade to Gray Podcast. I'm here today with a couple of the guys from the round table, and we got to interview Josh Dial from the amazing Tiger King.
Is it amazing, though, Carol Baskin?
Show on Netflix. All right. No, it really isn't.
Shut up, bitch.
I'm not that crazy in real life.
Shut up, you bitch, Carol fucking Baskin.
Oh, what a great show, man. How's everybody surviving quarantine? You can tell we're having a lot of fun over here.
I think I'm going crazy.
I love it. I spent all my time binge watching The Tiger King, and it was entertaining.
Definitely,
I did
definitely
too.
Binge watched it. That movie came out at just the right time. We all needed this amount of craziness in our life.
Oh, yeah.
Really cool to get Josh on the episode, and that's what this is all about, this episode. We went live, got to speak with Josh Dial. It was pretty funny. If you guys tuned in, we tried to get him on the first time around, and we were just live for 15 minutes, hyping it up, and then had to like stop and restart when actually got him on. So there were some technical difficulties there at the beginning, but it was about a 30-minute interview, and it was a blast. I mean... wait for the end where we kind of critique it and Seth gives his opinion and
Seth gets mad.
it was a great little outro moment. Y'all want to make sure to listen.
Oh yeah. And for those of you who don't remember, Josh Dial is or was the campaign manager for campaign manager for
that Oklahoma show,
exactly,
Chris.
For Joe Exotic's gubernatorial run. So you get to hear all about that too. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it's I don't know. It's hard to say it's a good show. And there's still some people out there holding out because they're just tired of seeing all the memes, and so they're like, I'm just not gonna watch it. And it's funny because I'm always like find myself like promoting it. It's something you need to watch, but it's not. It was very well put together as far as the documentary goes. I'll give it credit for that as well. And it's
they
just
did a great job.
Crazy as fuck.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah, watch it so you catch all of the pop culture stuff that's going to come out of it that already has come out of that show.
Oh, it's everywhere.
You'll just be behind.
You know what I saw?
You'll just be behind if you don't watch it.
You know what
it.
I saw today? They're selling, you know, the face masks that you have to wear out in public right now. But it's like mm-hmm. the lower part of the face of the, you know, first husband that has no teeth.
Oh my gosh.
I saw that one too.
That beats all.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I wasn't sure how long this whole pandemic's going to last, but I thought about getting us some Fade to Gray masks out there for any of our Ooh. Listeners that would want to wear something like that. Or
That'd be cool.
If I were a sewer, I would do that, but you don't want me sewing anything. I will kill you with my sewing.
You're starting to sound like Carol fucking Baskin killing people over there.
I will do that. I will.
If you start buying sardine oil and our cats start looking at me funny, I'm going to know what's up.
Forget arsenic. Sardine oil's where it's at.
Right on. Well, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. It was a really cool get. Joshua, thanks for being on there. And I apologize in advance for the outro. Enjoy.
What's
What's the holdup?
With what? Are you going live?
I mean, I'm waiting for him to join, but yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and go live? Because that's going to take a while. Because
I did what I was told. So, Chris, can I do what Omar says then?
Seth, calm your tits.
Do you need to take a break? Do you need to go to the corner?
I'm thinking that the reason maybe he's not able to join is because the Facebook Live is already going. I don't know. I'm just saying maybe that's why it happened.
No.
You know?
No. Well, here he is.
Cool.
Okay, I'm going live.
Hey, Joshua, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Everybody hear me all right?
Yeah, man.
All right.
Good Sorry deal. About that that delay there.
That's all right.
Yeah, not really sure what's going on, but we are, looks like we're getting back on track, hopefully getting back on live, and they'll be ready to get going.
We are on live.
We're already live.
We're live, ladies and gentlemen. Right.
There you go.
Yes, we are.
Here we go. I'm going to do a couple of shares, and then we'll play the music and get going. Thanks for doing this, Josh. Sorry about the confusion. Didn't mean to kick you out
That's
of the
right.
group. That wasn't very nice of us, was it?
I generally just mute the video and audio and mute it and wait when I do these, but I'm not accustomed to doing these. I was just a normal worker until like 2 weeks ago.
I bet you'll be doing a lot more podcasting pretty soon.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still trying to work a day job, you know, because you can't podcast for a living. Well, I mean, you could, but
it's hard.
Yeah. You're not still like working because you mentioned in the in the documentary that you were working at Walmart as like the guns and ammo guy. And not many people know, but back in the day, Walmart in Oklahoma, I mean, that's where I went and bought my first gun. You know, I don't think they even have those anymore, but you know, so is that something that is still like around or something that you do, or like what exactly are you doing nowadays?
See, Chris is trying to jump right into the interview and
he really didn't want
me to play this intro music, but I'm going to do it and then we're going to go. So
you're listening to the Fade to Gray Network.
We invite people
of all backgrounds
to share their stories.
Through nuanced conversations
and forward thinking
and not taking ourselves too seriously.
Everyone's story matters.
Every voice is important.
Life is polarizing.
But not everything is black and white.
Come join us
as we fade to gray.
See, Chris worked so hard on that intro music and then doesn't even want us to play it when we go live.
Boring.
It's not boring. It's encouraging. It's uplifting. It speaks to our mission and our value and what we're about. And Josh, we're just so happy to have you here.
Hey, good to be here. And I totally sympathize with you. Believe it or not, I have not even watched the Tiger King.
What?
No.
Is it just so traumatic, like looking back is difficult?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I to some extent, having seen the show, I can see how that might have been PTSD like looking back.
I do have PTSD, and you know, I've been like raising money on GoFundMe and Facebook to get some like I've got a friend, a fellow political activist who's talking about like some kind of eye movement, EMDR therapy, I believe it's called.
Eye movement desensitization therapy. It's great for trauma.
So those are some of the things I'm looking at. I'm working right now, just, you know, I live in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and we're in shelter in place here because of the pandemic. So the only places that are open are grocery stores, drug stores, and doctors. That is all that is open. So I'm working at a grocery store. Maybe when the pandemic dies down, something else will come around. I did have to take a leave of absence, though, because all this, sudden thrust into fame and spotlight has really messed with my mental health. And I just had to take a couple days off. So they were kind enough to give me that space that I needed to kind of chill out and relax and screw my head back on, you know.
You mentioned a couple of times now, I've heard that you had PTSD even before this whole Joe Exotic like encounter you had. So kind of a traumatic childhood growing up then, or like where did that?
That's all I'd really be comfortable saying.
Fair enough. Well, growing up in Oklahoma, I can totally completely understand why you would have PTSD. I mean, it's, you know, it's Oklahoma. I grew up there too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, Well, Oklahoma actually has become a pretty good state lately, surprisingly. I mean, we got medical marijuana at good, great prices. My apartment just next door, they have a big old sign outdoor, $69 ounces. And they, you know, our legislature specifically passed a law stating that if you had a medical marijuana card that you could keep your guns, that the state of Oklahoma would not enforce gun seizures. So that was great. There's some good things going on in Oklahoma here and there. You know, the great thing about our medical marijuana movement, not to get too off track, was it was a petition-based movement. The people wrote the law, and the people circulated the petition, and the people passed it. So I think there, you know, if more states can just get the people themselves, get the appetite to do it and the drive to do it, we can get it in all 50 states.
Well, let's talk about your politics for just a minute, because you know, one of the key things that stands out to me from the documentary that came out is, you know, the very first time you're introduced, you're talking about how you were Joe's campaign manager whenever he was running for governor and then later on for president. And you identified yourself as a libertarian and immediately said, so, you know, fuck the feds. And I remember laughing out loud, you know, just hardcore whenever I heard you say that. It's great.
One of the best
and
moments.
Then, you know, I wonder, because I've also heard you talk on a couple of other podcasts or, you know, whatever. And you mentioned something about how you voted for Obama three times. I'm really curious about your politics.
Yeah.
Like what's going through your head with all this stuff?
So, I was, you know, when I turned 18, I registered as a Democrat. I'm a gay man. The Libertarian Party had no ballot access in Oklahoma. They had no presence practically in Oklahoma. Not to knock the Libertarian Party, it was because the state legislature had a law stating you had to get an enormous, basically what amounted to an enormous percentage of people to, you know, get on to a signature ballot, you know, to get you on a ballot. But I knew of libertarianism from that age. And you know, it just took me a long time to come to it. But I really enjoyed, I don't regret my votes. I know I'll probably take a lot of heat for that. It took me a long time to come to the realization that, if I was to take money out of your check without asking you, that would be theft.
Yeah.
I would be stealing from you. That is exactly what the government is doing to us, all of us.
Andy Gillis, they're who's watching right money. Now, says Biden needs a yes. campaign manager. So
right, yeah, but yeah, I mean, I am a political operative. I mean, I will, you know, make no secret about that. But my heart does belong with the Libertarian Party, and I think most libertarians can forgive me. Probably not a whole lot, but maybe most can. For taking so long to come to the realization that taxation is
Well, I mean, you know, once you come to that realization, it's hard to, you know, think about any other way. It's like, it's almost like you're woke. And I agree. I love your flag back there. I love the entire thing, the entire concept. And yeah, Andy Gillis is just wanting us to ask you, like, if you had to endorse one, you know, of the candidates right now for president, who would you endorse?
Vermin Supreme.
Who is that?
He's running on the Libertarian ticket. He's ran like every single election cycle for the past, I don't know how long. Oh. And he always wears some crazy shit.
He's running a pretty serious campaign this time though. Y'all should really check his stuff out. You know, I would encourage anyone to go check his page out. Seriously. But there's a lot of great folks. You know, Dan Berman comes to mind, Joe Jorgensen, I believe, Mark Whitney. So there's several great choices that libertarians have to choose from if we can, you know, get this convention thing figured out with the, you know, COVID-19 crap going on.
Right. We voted libertarian last cycle, the Williamses. We voted Gary Johnson.
You felt the Johnson.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that Josh and Seth have in common.
There's the gay joke. We don't
way to gay. So Josh, you just have to mind. I am gay, and these guys, as the only gay person on Fade to Gray, I am typically.
Well, Chris technically is on the spectrum someplace. Let's be honest.
I know.
Oh, okay.
He's really not. So just don't let them bother you. But I want to hear about, I mean, for a lot of people who are watching our live thread right now, watching our live stream, they actually haven't seen all of Tiger King. And so I'm not asking for your whole life story. You don't have to give us a really long, drawn out story, but just like a brief overview of, I mean, I know you're from Oklahoma, or at least you live there now. Just tell us a little bit about your story.
So, I've lived in Oklahoma all my life. I went to college in 2007 for political science. University of Science and Arts of Oklahoma, USAO Oklahoma. I didn't finish. I ended up, surprise, surprise. It was 2007, housing crisis, all that mess. It just wasn't doable. So I moved back to my hometown of Paul's Valley, which is just about 7 miles north of Joe Zoo. And, I moved back home. And just kind of kept what education I'd already attained and used it to gain a manager job at Walmart. I wasn't actually a guns and ammo clerk. I was a support manager who basically supervises the sales floor associates. And Joe would come in every night with Travis. If there was no gun or ammunition person at the desk, I would come service them and help them out. And I always admired Joe for one reason. There's a play called The Normal Heart, and HBO had made a movie redone it, in a movie form with Mark Ruffalo, who I love, by the way. And I just watched that, and I mean, I had bawled all that night and hardly got any sleep. And that next morning, Joe came in, and I just stopped to him and talked to him, and I told him, like, thank you so much for being like for paving the way for gay people, gay men and women, like myself and my brothers and sisters out there to be able to be who we are now and not be persecuted. Thank you for keeping the fight going during the AIDS epidemic. And that's how our friendship started.
Because Joe's first husband died of AIDS, right?
Yeah,
that's right. Okay.
I believe so. Yeah. It is. He was running for president at that time. And he asked me to come on his campaign. I did not come on his campaign. I stuck with my job. But when he ran for governor, I jumped Walmart ship and went for Joe Exotic for governor. The Libertarian Party just gained ballot access. And I felt it was someone needed or at least the party probably would like someone that was somewhat libertarian to be running his campaign as opposed to some quack. So, I took it upon myself to take that burden. It cost me a lot, physically, mentally, financially, emotionally, however you want to say it. But, what's done is done.
I mean, if you look at now too, I guess Joe had more of a chance than we all thought if you look at who we have for president right now. So,
well, there was a scenario where he could have got the Libertarian nomination and went on to the general election. Had the Libertarian Party's committee decided to allow independents to vote in the Libertarian primary, we probably would have won that election and went on to a three-way race. And it would have been even more salacious because he would have been arrested as a legitimate candidate for governor, elected candidate for governor. Yes. It could have got really crazy, really even crazier than it is now. Mm-hmm. If you can even believe that.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to go as far as to say it. I don't think that he should have been arrested. I mean, I am in a free Joe Exotic Facebook group where we met, but I am curious of watching that show and you being in the middle of all of that. When Jeff Lowe was around and recording, did you ever get the feeling that he was playing Joe or
Oh yeah.
Okay, so you could kind of see it.
I mean,
the vibe.
I knew the whole time. I kept telling all the staff, you know, and say, hey, you know, in private, I'd say, hey, Joe's going down. Like, these people are setting Joe up. They're recording him. There's recording devices all over the office that were not there yesterday. Open your eyes. Something is going on. Joe is going down. And no one believed me. Oh, no. He's been doing this for 40 years. Nothing's going to happen to him. Nothing. And I was right. And I've had people that I used to work with at the zoo. I don't keep in contact with them. But the only messages I've received from most of them was been just one message. You were right the whole time. Wow. Holy shit.
Wow.
You know?
Well, they were recording everything. So if there was anything that they did that was against the law, it's on camera. That was the whole thing. Like the if you're going to like do a documentary or something like that, they need to only record when they're going to record. You don't record everything. Like, that's a problem.
Sometimes you get the best footage, though, when you're, you know, recording everything.
We have a Patreon member, or not Patreon member, but we have someone who's asking the question, do you regret running Joe's campaign? Yeah, that's from Bennett Taylor.
Yeah. No, I mean, I regret that I had to watch his husband blow his brains out, to be frank. But as far as just going forward, do I regret running Joe's campaign? No, because I think I did a service to the state of Oklahoma and to the Libertarian Party by making sure that he didn't use his platform to completely trash the message of a third party that's the third largest political party in the United States. And for people, hundreds and hundreds of people that voted for him, that they deserve to have someone that actually knew that what they were doing and were willing to propose policies in case, you know, the case came up where he did win. There was someone that knew what they were doing. Yeah. There has to be someone at the steering wheel. And there was many times he asked, you know, well, you know, if I become, what would we do if I become governor? And he said, I just tell him, I said, well, I guess I'd become governor, you know? And he'd just say, I'd be okay with that. I'm not moving to the mansion. And it was just wild, you know? And of course, I'm knowing the whole time, like, you know, right, I'm not going to win governor.
Yeah, but a pretty big long shot anyway, for sure.
Yeah, but we are in the age of Trump, so don't discount anything. I will say that.
Yeah, we're in the apocalypse now, even, so don't discount anything. So.
Yeah, this is the end.
You mentioned, you know, unfortunately having to watch, you know, the demise of Joe's husband, Travis. And I've heard you talk about how, you know that he didn't intend to do that. That was a total accident. He was just trying to prove to you, you know, that the gun wouldn't shoot without a clip in it or something like that, right? But then, you know, your reaction to that was one of the most jarring parts of the documentary that we watched. Yeah, you know,
I agree.
When we see your face, we all feel it. I mean, obviously not like
people like literally scream out loud too.
I mean, obviously not like being in the same room and actually witnessing it, but certainly we feel, you know, your shock and your pain in that because, I don't mean to bring up things that are traumatic to you, but you know, I guess my question would be like, what is your goal now? You've been talking about mental health and stuff. So like with, you know, what you've experienced, what is your goal with the world knowing all this information?
You know, my goal is to make everyone aware that of a couple of things, several things. You know, Joe Exotic had nothing to do with the Libertarian Party. He was just a kook. He was a quack that, I'm sorry for all the fans out there, he is, like him or not, and I happen to do, yes, I do happen to like him, but he's a quack. You know, but he was not a libertarian. Travis was not murdered. It was not a suicide. It was a tragic accident. And the third is there are more tigers in living rooms and backyards in the United States of America than there are in the wild in the entire world. And we need to all keep this in mind as we think about the Tiger King and as, you know, this new episode is going to drop tomorrow and, you know, I'm going to be featured in it. So I'm imagining the rest of the cast is going to be featured in it as a kind of follow up or as a where are they now kind of thing. But they didn't ask me about the tigers in the follow up interview. What about the freaking tigers? You know, What about them? Like that's what you should be doing. Should it be okay? You know, we all have to ask ourselves as Americans when we go to the polls, and ask ourselves in our hearts first, really, are you comfortable with a, you know, 2 month old or, you know, 1 month, 2 month old baby tiger being forced to take photos every 30, you know, 15 to 30 minutes with people and their butts being wiped so often from diarrhea from poor diets that their butts literally bleed. Just for $50 for two people and $5 a head after that. Is it worth it? What can we do as human beings, not as Americans, as humans, as members of this earth? What can we do to save this species? Because if we do not do something, I'm gay, so I don't have no kids or grandkids, but should I be blessed to adopt? My kids or grandkids will not be able to see these animals in a zoo or in the wild or anywhere, nowhere. They will be gone. So people need to open up their eyes and really take a hard look at the laws regarding animals. Go to your local authorities. There's no need to pass some big sweeping federal state law. Go to your local municipality. If you want to make sure you don't have a tiger in your next door neighbor's yard, then say, hey, we want to go to your city councilman, tell him you want to pass an ordinance that says no exotic animals in city limits. Done. If you don't like it, you can organize a group, get the city council member voted out.
And Joshua, listen, I'm going to have to stop you right there. I'm going to have to stop you right there. You're starting to sound like that fucking bitch Carol Baskin.
But you're not wrong. That is the hard part though, Josh, because like I was telling the guys before you came on how just growing up, the idea of having, I'm a cat person, the idea of having a tiger always was alluring to me. And that was one of the big takeaways
you
watching this.
Like,
what? I could have had one for $2,000. But my problem isn't so much like, yeah, it's horrible. Like the bleeding for the butthole. I didn't know that, you know, of the pictures as the cub, but the full adult tigers being locked in cages is the hard thing for me, is how they're born to run and to roam, to have like all of this land. And I like the fact that maybe they're being preserved because we have more here in America than we do in their natural habitat. And somehow like, I'd love to see the tiger like live, but I don't want to see it live in cages. So obviously we need to preserve the natural habitat. And I feel like that somewhere right. along the way, like all these people, whether it be Carol Baskins or Joe or whatever, have lost that idea. You know, like how do we keep them? You know, or just like annex Texas and let them just run wild.
Yeah. It's such a hard question. Like, that's why I say, you know, and I may sound like an animal rights activist. I'm not, I'm just stating the facts as they are. I mean, these are the facts, like them or not. And we can't simply invade India and, you know, turn it into the world's largest, you know, tiger preserve. I mean, we could, but I mean, like, we're not going to invade, you know, the second most populous country on
Earth.
There's
no oil there.
Yeah, there's no oil. Come on. Give me a break.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Seth, I have a question from a listener, David Todd, and then I'll let you ask a question, Seth.
That was what I was going to do.
Oh, okay. Well, then you ask it. You ask it. We'll hear your voice.
Okay. Well, David Todd wanted to know how much drug use was going on at the GW Zoo. Because the thing about it was the show kind of alludes to that, but then
turning
really
straight
know
man gay apparently with meth. Joe's a wizard.
What was going on at the zoo, you know, with the drug use?
At my time at the zoo, the only drug I saw Joe take was a medical marijuana gummy. That's the only thing I ever saw Joe Exotic take and do drugs. The only drugs I saw employees take, including myself, marijuana, medical marijuana. That's it.
There was no meth.
That's it. Now,
you look so disappointed, Seth.
No, I just I thought meth.
I was probably a part
meth.
Of it.
No, I mean
that's the joke.
I was told there was meth, but I'm not gonna throw like people's names out and just say, well, X was on meth.
Yeah, we're not.
X was on meth.
We don't care about that.
But there was meth around. Yes. Okay.
Look to the teeth, people. Look to the teeth.
I'd say probably 4 or 5 people were on meth of the, you know, 10 or 15.
There is one part of the documentary where Joe mentions that he had even done meth, you know, previously. So, I don't think that's any secret for sure.
Yeah.
We had another person,
Joshua, yeah. We don't want to, what's up? Yeah, what it's like one or two more questions. I don't want to take Joshua has been so kind to give us his super time kind. Today, and so
Andy Gillis says, "What's the most normal or redeeming quality that Joe Exotic has?"
You know, he had a giving heart. This may not in the sense of he's like, you know, he goes and donates to charity. People, like, for instance, when I worked there, he had a convicted, registered child sex offender working and living at that zoo because no one else would give him a place to live. No one else would give him a place to stay. A lot of people say that's bad because, you know, you shouldn't hire a sex offender. But, I mean, Joe was the kind of guy to give people second chances. And I find that to be a very, very redeemable quality. He gave people that had no home, no place to live, no food, no work, no purpose. He gave them a roof over their head with their own room, with a house, even had direct TV in the houses. Did he work us like dogs? Yes. Did he treat us like shit? Yes. Did he put us in danger of, you know, criminal and physical danger? Possibly, probably, yeah. But he took, you know, he made sure we were taken care of. So that would be the main redeemable quality about Joe. You know, even like when we went to, you know, after Joe's wedding, the famous monkey ball, wedding/monkey ball, we took all the leftovers and we went downtown Oklahoma City and we went to the homeless section in a limo and we opened up the back of the truck and we went and gave food and just fed the homeless. Went to Walmart, bought a bunch of blankets and stuff. Gave them blankets. I have pictures of that still on my phone, one of the proudest things of my political career. And we didn't make a big deal about it. We didn't make a big hurrah about it, which just because right. It was right.
That's amazing.
Awesome. That's awesome.
It's really sad that Netflix didn't, you know, portray that aspect of Joe.
They have those. Yeah, they have those pictures, too, because I gave those pictures to them.
Well, Joshua, really appreciate you being on here. Why don't you go ahead and let people know what's going on with your GoFundMe and what you're doing now and in the future so people, if they want to help support you and you know, get your mental health on board and all that stuff, go ahead and plug away.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so I got a Facebook fundraiser and a GoFundMe fundraiser set up. I know that seems like a little overkill, but I need a lot of help right now. Especially now that I'm on a leave of absence from work, I don't know when I'm going to be able to go back to work. And even if I could go back to work, I've got 90 days until my insurance kicks in. So I need 90 days worth of help here. And these two fundraisers between the one I have on GoFundMe, look up Joshua Dial, or Facebook, just look on my Facebook page, Joshua Dial, same thing. I think between those two fundraisers, and the cameos I'm doing, I'm also on Cameo. So if you want to book me on Cameo, I've got those three things going. And I think once all those get to their goals, I'll be able to get the treatment I need to get back on track and hopefully go back to living a normal life. That's really my goal. I just want to be a normal person.
I mean, when you saw Netflix filming, though, did you expect, you expected some fame, I imagine. But I mean, you had the wherewithal to see Joe going down before it happened. Did you have the same wherewithal to think, well, maybe this is going to blow up to be something huge?
No, because it wasn't Netflix. Like, Netflix didn't approach me. It was a couple of directors that did their own project. They've been working on it for probably about 3 or 4, maybe 5 years. I mean, I worked with them. I met them when I worked at the zoo. That's how long they've been filming. They have their own production company. And what happened was they pitched it to a bunch of people and smart. Netflix bought it. So
there you go.
So I had no idea the interviews I was giving, were going to go to Netflix. It's kind of a bummer that, you know, I'm, you know, struggling to pay the bills and make ends meet and, you know, seek the help I need for, you know, watching a guy blow his brains out. So, and I'm having to ask, you know, help for donations and do cameos to do it. But, you know, I got to do what I got to do to get myself right. And it's taken me this long, however many years it's been, it seems like it's been a decade, but you know, how 2 or 3 years long it's been that I've finally realized, like, I need help. Like,
that's so, that's a big step too.
Talk to somebody.
Yeah. So
it's so hard to take too.
Talk, Seth.
It's hard. Hard.
Jesus, Seth. Talk.
So, were you laid off at Walmart? Is that where you were working? Or where were you working?
Yeah, I left Walmart.
Okay.
I left Walmart to go work for Joe.
To go work for Joe. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to think, like, I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I work for an insurance company, and I worked for a crisis line for 4 years before that, and my literal job has been getting people treatment, and EMDR is an incredible therapeutic approach. It's great for, it's literally great for depression, but truthfully, if you were to reach out to your local crisis line, they could likely get you in with a therapist within, I'd say, a week that offers a discounted rate. So just kind of throwing that out too, there's a lot of resources where you don't have to have $15,000 to get the help you need. There's ways of doing it, and there's services out there to help. And if you're ever looking for that, please feel free to reach out to me, because I can probably get you in with someone that would be helpful. So just an idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Also keep in mind though, I live in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. We, you know, the governor denied Medicaid expansion.
Yes, he did.
You have to either threaten to kill someone or harm yourself in order to be able to,
for a hospital, you know, admission. Yes.
To get some hospital
for
admission.
For a hospital admission. You are correct.
Yeah.
Right now that is true, but you don't have to go to the hospital. They wouldn't do EMDR in a hospital. A hospital's inpatient.
Well, Joshua, I think you're an awesome dude and worthy to be, you know, money well spent. If you guys have any extra money, I know things is tough right now for everybody during quarantine season, but I think it honestly is also really brave of you to kind of just admit where you're at mentally and be, make yourself vulnerable to a lot of trolls out there. And so
a lot of them.
I just really appreciate you, you know, like talking with me and talking with us and give us the opportunity to come on here and tell a little bit of your story. And I think, guys, if you're hearing a story and you have the means to support, I think it's a worthy cause, and go for it.
Joshua, really appreciate it. Have a good one, man.
You too. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, man. You have a good day.
Boy, Andy Gillis is really fanboying out about Josh here. Let me read some of this. Awesome, Josh. Thank you. He truly seemed like a man who had a genuine good heart. What else did he say? Josh was the fucking most mature person on the whole cast. His monologue on the last episode of Tiger King made me cry. That's what it was supposed to be all about. You're a dang good man, Josh Dial. This is all from Andy Gillis. So yeah, Andy was, like fanboying out. So good job, Andy.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the show, it's a good one. A lot of crazy things happen. Yeah, Josh did seem like the only sane person in the whole lot. Really glad to have him on. Please support him. This whole thing is made possible because of our Patreons. If you like what you hear here, we get our hands into a lot of different things with the Fade to Gray Network. Please look us up, patreon.com/FadeToGrayPodcast. Seth has mental podcast as well. You should check out Four and Toe podcast with Elizabeth that you should check out as well.
And if you like movies, check out Movies That Molded Me with Chris, Omar, and Elizabeth.
See how you do that?
Best game show.
You can just interact or interject whenever you want to, Seth. You don't have to just like make little comments and just make it awkward for everybody until we're all like, Seth, ask your question.
Whatever.
See, but I know you can do it. I know you can do it.
Seth was nervous.
I don't mind speaking over you and shutting you up. I do mind over talking celebrities.
Oh, good God.
Celebrities.
You want to call them celebrities. Well, you know, someone who's on Netflix.
Did you hear that, Josh? You're a
He's
celebrity.
A person, first and foremost. And second,
right? They're all
Seth,
people.
I think for the first time ever is crushing on someone who's not a twink or a black man.
I am not.
I think you are.
You were stuck on that. I think you're crushing, Chris. I don't know.
I am not.
And then
I think Chris is.
If you didn't catch us in our first going live attempt where we had kicked Josh off of the call and didn't let him back on, we also were kind of pushing the hats and the merch and the cups and the mugs and all the fun stuff. So thanks for watching. Thanks for joining. Check us out.
Amanda Keener.
Join the Patreon. Be part of the family.
Amanda Keener says that Seth was really trying to be polite and not interrupt the guest. It's called manners.
Thank you. Thank you, Amanda. You are correct.
Darren Fraser says SAS level 1000.
All I'm saying though, if you're gonna host a podcast, you're gonna have to direct the person you're interviewing as well, or they just tell stories and then you completely lose where you're going. That happens in some podcasts, we won't name any names. So moving on.
I sure hope you're not talking.
I'm not
about
naming any
on
names.
The
of course,
yeah, not on the Fade to Gray Network. I know another podcast not on our network that does that, but it's not us.
Anyway, thanks for joining us live. We have some other stuff we're recording today as well. I have a buddy of mine who I grew up with who owns a couple CBD shops, so we're going to be talking pot for the rest of the day, and I don't think we're going to be live for that one. So you got to check us
and
out. Fade to Gray.
If you've been experiencing fear or anxiety or struggling there,
smoke lots
Fade to
of
Gray.
Weed.
Seth was on a roundtable discussion with too many podcasters this morning. It's on the Fade to Gray page.
Boring.
We talk about facing your fears with a bunch of authors and theologians.
Man,
half
those people have been on our podcast, Chris. Shut up.
I know. And we're
Jesus
about to
this,
get, we have
Jesus
another one next
that.
Friday, so get over it.
Carol Baskin hit her husband, Don, with the baseball bat.
Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
That kind of tried. There you go. All right.
All right. I'm ending
later, guys.
This live feed.
Check us
it
out.
It was great.
Yep. See ya. Well, that was a pretty interesting episode. I'm really glad that Josh was able to give us 30 minutes to talk about everything.
Gee, it was, Omar.
Gee, golly gee willikers. No, it was really nice of him to give us the 30 minutes. I know there's probably a lot of people like banging down his door. I know the same week he gave us that episode, he also recorded with Netflix and TMZ. So I feel pretty fucking special. I don't know about you.
I don't know.
Important people now.
I don't know how I feel about it. Seth, what do you think about how everything went down?
Whew, I have some mixed emotions.
Why so?
This was my take, all right? He is personally upset that Netflix is not paying him. And
I mean, I would be too. They're going to make billions off of that.
I understand that. He has every right to be upset. And I fully believe that he is dealing with some very serious mental health concerns. And I think that he is encountered a very traumatic event. So he definitely likely is experiencing PTSD. Having said that, using your PTSD as a way of asking other people for money is 100% against everything I'm about.
So do you think that he's kind of just using that? You don't think that he's really wanting to use the money for getting counseling?
Well, I want to know what kind of counseling, okay, you can get an EMDR therapist for $25 a week, all right? He is trying to raise thousands of dollars for his mental health. What exactly is that going to pay for? He talked about hospital system. Well, I'm sorry, Josh, but if you're wanting to see an EMDR therapist, you are not going to see them in the hospital. So
you mentioned that in the podcast episode too, yeah.
Because it really
bothers
me.
What about medications, though? What about medications? Like, if he's bipolar, I know some people that I've talked to spend $1,000 a month on specific, like, mental health prescriptions.
Well, that is possible. There are all kinds of programs out that will reduce that cost. I even use one myself for my medication. It's a very expensive medication, but I use a little coupon from the manufacturer and I get it for $10. So there are all kinds of ways around that. And he didn't say medication in our talk with him. His whole focus was on raising money for counseling. He didn't mention medication.
He just
at
says
all.
Mental health. He didn't say just counseling. He's talking about his mental health.
He pushed counseling.
I tell you what, if I got $15,000, my mental health would definitely be well. That's for sure. I could. Well, this. I mean, that would boost my mental health a lot. This maybe he's onto something.
There are a lot of people who are struggling in our society. Okay, and they don't get to go around asking other people for money. I mean, they certainly can, but they're not going to get anywhere. And to use that, to use his platform to boost his own personal income for his calling it mental health, I'm against. I don't think genius. That is right. I think it's unethical.
Genius.
I think it's unethical, and I think it's wrong.
I don't.
Well, let's be clear to the listeners that, you know, that we're a week out from the episode that you're hearing. So, Seth, you asked him or you told him that you're available to help him out and to get him help.
Yep.
Did he ever even try to reach out to you or get your information or anything?
Not at all. And that's the whole thing for me is if you come on and you're talking with someone and they offer you actual help that will not cost a lot of money and you say no because you want other people to give you money, that's a problem.
Okay. But he doesn't, I guess I can kind of see his point of view though, because he doesn't know who you are from Adam. He's suddenly got all this fame and now he's got people telling him what to do. So like, could you see it from that perspective at all?
Absolutely, but I at least would listen. He didn't even listen at all. And can we just be upfront about what he wanted us to pay him for a 30-minute interview? Can we just throw that out there, Omar?
I mean, you're on a tear.
He asked us to come on to our podcast and talk for 30 minutes. 30 minutes! He wanted us to give him $500. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, okay. Well, just so everyone knows, we did not do that.
Thank God. Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, it is ridiculous. But he probably doesn't know that in the podcast world, that's not a thing. You know?
He does now.
Yeah, certainly yeah, he does now.
He does. He knows now.
Yeah, we started off on the wrong foot with Josh, so... Joshua, I don't know if you ever listened to this. I apologize for my friends, but no.
I didn't say anything. I liked the guy.
No, Josh, it's fine.
I think you were a great guy.
Everyone's entitled to their opinions. I let you talk. Let me talk, Seth. Thank you. So, I appreciate that. So basically, I met Josh in a Free Joe Exotic chat group, and he was, and they're talking about money, asking about his mental health. A friend requested him. He came on. Definitely when I asked him about being on the podcast, he showed interest, but he was like my agent. And I think that's the one caveat that we're not really like looking into all this is I think that like after he got this popularity, he got himself an agent. And then he's taken a lot of his cues money-wise and even possibly with this fundraiser thing from like an agent that's maybe directing him in that direction to basically make money off of his 15 minutes of fame.
I don't think this guy has an agent. And if he does have an agent, it's like a fucking Oklahoma, like backwoods agent, kind of like he was a campaign manager. You know what I'm saying?
Jesus.
Yeah.
I definitely think that like the whole asking for money thing is pretty lame. We've had some really good guest on in the past that we've never had to pay anything for, and that's kind of the whole deal. And went some back channels, found out some other friends of mine who are podcasters who were also in contact with them. That's kind of like was a status quo asking for money, but then it was like, no, we're good on that, but you know, you can still be on the podcast. And then it would come back and be like still interested, and so that was the whole thing. We went back and forth for a couple of days on settling on like, I'll give you something. I'm like, $500 is ridiculous, but I mean, you are raising money right now. And I mean, he seems like a pretty decent guy other than that. And I've spent money on other stuff. So I was like, I mean, I'd give him something to be on the podcast. It'd be cool. And he did come on. So I appreciate that happening. With all that being said, so because we went there with like it was kind of a dick move to do, but I don't think he knew, and I was pretty much a dick back, and we got it figured out though.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting, you know, being in that Free Joe Exotic group, people are ruthless over there, and I love it. So you've got no, it's great.
Literally a group for assholes.
It really is. And someone actually posted that the other day, and you know, sure enough, everyone responded in kind by being an asshole. But the funny thing is that you had a lot of people who were talking about the fact that they thought him, you know, asking for mental help or whatever was a farce. And certainly in the episode 8 Netflix, you know, I guess the last episode they put out, he brought it up and was talking about how that's kind of what he's trying to do. And a lot of people reacted to that and they thought he was full of shit. So, I mean, Seth, you're not alone in thinking that. I mean, there's a lot of people that would say that.
There is a difference between seeking help, seeking resources, and utilizing that, and then asking for money versus asking for money and taking no help or no feedback or no direction. There's a big difference. There are a lot of people in the world right now who are struggling, who need help, and they don't have to have a huge pocketbook to get it. And the message he is sending, inevitably, because he has a public platform now, is that in order to get help, you need a lot of money. And that's not true.
Well, as a libertarian, he would tell you that facts don't care about feelings and that he's $15,000 richer and you're not. So,
and he has every prerogative to do that. And that's exactly what he's doing. And I will not support it. I
don't fault him for it. I don't fault him for it. I mean, you know, do what you got to do. If that's what you want to, you know, if that's the platform you want to go for it. I mean, it's a free country and I don't know. I don't fault him for it. And I really actually appreciate him coming on and talking to us because he did not have to do that.
Yeah. And I definitely don't fault him for it either, but also don't fault Seth for his opinion or, you know, all the people that, you know, view it that way. I can see kind of maybe a 360 angle or a bird's eye view from the whole thing. I'm not a mental health professional. You know, I like the guy. Like if I was on a Netflix documentary that was that popular and, you know, I saw an opportunity to like, hey, I'm the guy that saw somebody shoot themselves in the head. You know, people feel for me. Like maybe they'll give me money. Like it's a risky move, you know, because you're putting yourself out there. It's a vulnerability thing, you know, then you're being yourself on podcasts doing the same thing. So yeah, you're going to get a whole lot of shit and a whole lot of hate. In fact, it was funny. I didn't tell you guys this. I told Elizabeth because I was friends with Joshua. And a few hours after being on our podcast, Seth, he actually posted on Facebook about something about being annoyed about people on Facebook, you know, given their expert opinions or so. I forget exactly how it was.
Of people giving me expert opinions, but not really caring who I am or anything like that. Yeah, it was directed towards you for sure.
Oh, that burns. Well, I'm sorry. I am a professional. And you did come onto a podcast to ask for money. And if you're asking for money, the people have every right to ask you whatever questions they want. I'm sorry. You put yourself in that position if you're going to ask people to give you money. And I think that we showed him a lot of care and concern.
I think so too.
And honestly, I don't think that I was rude. At the end, I was a little abrupt because he just kept going and I wanted to at least educate him that he's wrong and that there are resources there. And if that really upsets him, then I'm sorry. Then you aren't actually looking for help. You're looking for attention.
I would say the only caveat or the only thing that would set apart that conversation for me would be him being in Oklahoma, you being in St. Louis. Is there a state to state? Because he did bring that up a couple times. That's the only thing I don't know, and I don't know anything about this. But that would he may be running into different roadblocks. I don't know.
A couple things.
Yeah. I'll say about that is he's living, you know, pretty close to Oklahoma City, Tulsa, pretty close to Tulsa. I mean, he could go into Tulsa and get help, but I guarantee you, where he's from in Paul's Valley, you might have one psychiatrist in the whole, you know, county. I mean, I don't know, but he's from the fucking sticks, and I'm not even kidding because
we have one option for our insurance in our area, and that's, he sucks.
And that's why most insurance, which again, I highly doubt he's insured, but most insurance companies are now offering all telehealth, specifically in the midst of COVID. So even if you're in a rural area, you can totally have a Zoom session with a therapist for like, at a decent rate. And also I took lines for Suicide Lifeline, which is a national helpline, for 4 years. And during that time I talked to lots of people in Michigan. and were able to get them assistance. There are all kinds of options like Talkspace.
What is Michigan doing?
Headspace.
Yeah, he's not in Michigan. What do you mean Michigan?
Where's he at?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Michigan is not in Oklahoma.
No, it's not.
Very different places, dude. Very different places.
I understand that. I lived in Tulsa, all right, for a while.
I didn't know you lived in Tulsa.
As a crisis outreach psychiatric emergency service clinician, going into people's homes and helping people in
Tulsa. How many
Tulsa.
Meth heads did you talk to during that time? Because, man, Oklahoma's full of meth heads.
I honestly didn't keep that job that long.
Okay.
It was a really embarrassing story.
Were you hooking up with the patients?
No.
Oh.
But I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I had had a seizure, so I didn't have a car. So I got a ride to work one day from a hookup. And then they asked me how I got to work, and I was like, oh, someone I met last night. And that did not go well. And I was so embarrassed.
Weird.
I called my mom, cried, and went in the next day and resigned. But
oh, you
what
resigned?
I'm saying
okay.
Is, yeah. But what
I was
going to
say, surely they can't fire you for that.
They can't, but they were going to make my life hell. So, and it was super humiliating. So, but what I'm saying is, I've lived in Oklahoma. The resources are there, and if you're in a rural area, there are about 15 different ways of accessing therapy. It doesn't have to be face to face. So that's not. I mean, I hear that he's in a rural area, so it's difficult. I understand that, but there are other options. And if he would actually have a conversation to talk about what he's needing, someone could help him. But that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for your money.
I mean, he's definitely looking for your money, but I think that he also wants mental help. On Facebook, people were talking about how he kept getting kicked off of there. Like, right? Didn't Facebook kick him off?
They took down one of his fundraisers that had like over $2,000 on it.
Oh, so he actually lost that money. So Facebook basically thinks he's full of shit too.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Or somebody, or enough people reported it or whatever that they took it down.
So. Gotcha. His GoFundMe ended up getting funded though,
$15,000. That's what I was wondering. He's not a nonprofit, and Facebook would only do nonprofits, right?
Oh, I don't know.
So I thought most of those were. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
No clue. No clue. Well, anyway, it was still an interesting episode. Slightly fun. I think the most fun part was Chris making awkward gay jokes in the middle of the conversation. Like, God love you, Joshua, but yeah, like the sense
had to do something. He was dry as fuck.
Was not there. And Seth apologizing for Chris. That was kind of funny. But anyway.
I was trying to build rapport, but that's... It was like not possible. It did not work. It failed.
Apparently, Seth is not trying anymore. He's trying to burn all bridges.
Burn, baby, burn.
It's like whenever we get anybody of any like clout, not that Joshua has any clout. He has some fame right now, a little bit of fame. We jumped on that bandwagon for a second, the Tiger King bandwagon. But like we had a big name pastor on, and then Chris just slams him for the rest of the time. And
he
now
was
we get somebody with a decent name, like in like, guess you call it show. I just call that show business. I don't know, just somebody else famous. And now
you
Seth
consider
shits on
Josh
him.
Dial part of showbiz?
No,
no. That's what I'm saying. That's why I said he's
part of the biggest show that's out there right now, and has been the biggest show for a month. Dude is famous. Don't get it twisted. Dude is famous.
Exactly.
100%.
And he's using
worldwide.
His fame.
Him and the TikTok guy
fame.
Who's bored in his house and in his house
and
bored.
He should, because he'll never get this chance again. And yeah. I would do the exact same fucking thing. Yeah, I may not do it the same way.
I would not.
I may not do it the same way, but I would
not
definitely
for all
try.
Mental health. No, I would I mean, not.
Oh my God.
I would.
There's just certain lines I won't cross, mister.
There are lines.
But if RuPaul asks you to come hang out with them, you would be famous.
Oh, I'm there.
It wouldn't have to be RuPaul. It'd be just anybody during quarantine.
Seth, he's got mental health issues. Why are you putting him on blast? He's got mental health issues.
Well, I mean, so does the president. He doesn't stop. You know, doesn't stop him from making fun of him either.
That's
so.
True.
He likes to go after people with mental health issues. Apparently,
no. That's
every time you talk about Trump. That's what I'm going to say.
No, Okay, do not open
low hanging fruit.
If you go, if you open that door, this will be a round table. Forget this as the Josh Dial wrap up. Okay,
I think Trump's doing a fantastic job.
I'm going to defend myself here because I'm not attacking people with mental health issues.
She's taking out her earrings, putting up her hair.
Stephanie,
I am talking about people using their mental health issues as a way of manipulating people to give you money. That I have an issue with. Not people with mental health issues. There's a difference. Well, yeah. To the point that Facebook is now banning him. So,
well, pastors do it all the time. Well, they get on TV and they
tell
you to.
Exactly, they do. Exactly. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I'm not an active member of a church right now.
Facebook didn't ban anybody. And he reached his goals and he's fine. And everything's fine. Yep.
Praise him.
In a way,
praise.
I mean, and like, because $15,000 is so much money, and we but it is.
Is that all he's raised?
I mean, I don't know.
You I guys think so.
Somebody kept saying that number. I have no clue.
That's what I read in the Free Joe Exotic group. So I those guys are pretty accurate. They've got Carol Baskin's phone number. So I mean,
they got all kinds of shit. That group is group is scary. 250,000 strong too.
I love it. Kind of reminds me of the Facebook community and Don't Fuck with Cats, that documentary where the Facebook community actually hunted down.
Yeah, you get those two people on this whole Carol Baskin thing.
Like, that's what's happening here.
Seth, I think you didn't like Josh Dial just because he's already taken.
Oh.
Was he your type?
That perhaps is the most offensive thing you've ever said
to me. Doubt it.
So he's not your type?
No.
I thought crazy was your type.
Can we not use the pejorative term crazy?
Oh my God.
We'd rather use the word meltdown.
I thought men that had meltdown was your type, Seth.
Meltdown is not my type.
Speaking of meltdown, Stephanie, thank you for joining us. So,
am I being kicked off there?
Put your earrings back in. Let your hair back down.
I'll talk to all of you later.
It was great. Yeah, we are actually going to record Movies That Molded Me now, so that's what's happening. But
if I offended anyone listening, please just understand. I'm not coming against people who have mental health concerns.
Just Josh Dial.
Damage
control.
I'm coming across... on don't use your mental health as a way of manipulating people. That I have an issue with. And I don't think that that's wrong. And I think that a lot of people would agree with me. In fact, I think most mental health professionals would. So let's just keep that in mind. And if you want to call me Sethany, fine. I don't care.
I love her.
Being honest.
And if you are a mental health professional that wants to disagree with Seth or come on the show and argue with him, please reach out to us.
Yeah, please. Please, by all means.
And I just got one more thing to say before we wrap it up here, people, and that is, and I hope everyone will join me in saying it, fuck the feds.
Oh, I was going to say, fuck Carol Baskin. No, thank you.
And on that note, support our podcast by going to patreon.com/fade2gray.
And give mental a like.
And support mental at patreon.com/mentalpodcast.
And Movies That Molded Me.
Mental
and
will support Josh Dial, but go and support mental.
That is not. I am. What does support Josh Dial even mean? You mean give him money?
Yeah.
No, I will not give him money, but I will support him. I will
he
give
needs
him
to
resources.
Buy marijuana and meth.
Well, he still has all his teeth. He's not on meth.
No, he's definitely not on meth. Yeah.
We'll wrap this up. Sorry, guys. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.